I'm going to bring you back to Genesis. And I agree with my brother Mark. I'm glad you read your Bible, because I hope you know more about this story than I do. Genesis chapter 22. Sound familiar? Well, if some of the stuff we were talking about today was over your head, I'll guarantee you this won't be. I want to come right back down to earth now. Genesis chapter 22. I'm purposely reading something you know. Verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt or test Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham? And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place which God had told him. And on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself I have sworn, saith the Lord, because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. I trust the Lord will bless the reading of this lovely passage. So if you get nothing else out of what I say, you have just heard one of the loveliest passages in the Old Testament. Abraham and Isaac. But I want you to drop your eyes down to verse 18, because that's the verse I want to speak to you about, and I had to read the whole thing to get you to verse 18. The last line, because thou hast obeyed my voice. I want to speak to you about obedience. And we're going to use Abraham, because he obeyed. God tested Abraham. What was the test? Would he obey? Doesn't get any simpler than that. Would he obey? So, I want you to ask yourself, am I obeying? If you're anything like me, there's some things that we gladly obey. And there's some things we don't want to obey. I'll use me for an example. How long were you saved before you obeyed and got baptized? Were you like Abraham? Rose up early the next morning? I waited 2 years. Nothing changed in those 2 years. The Word of God didn't change. I was just as saved 2 years later as I was the next day. Why'd it take me 2 years to obey? Can you imagine the change in this story if Abraham waited 2 years? He didn't wait, did he? He obeyed. He was quick to obey. Quick to obey. That's my first point. Would you get up early the next morning if God told you to do this the night before? He didn't ask him something easy. He asked him something very hard. I think, the way I read my Bible, this is the hardest thing in the entire Bible that God ever asked a man to do. Quick to obey. First thing in the morning. Not just in the morning. He rose up early the next morning to obey. To do the hardest thing that God ever asked a man to do. He never asked you to do this. Never asked me to do this. In fact, in comparison to this, anything that God has asked us to do has been so simple. Just obey me. Just follow me. Just remember me. And we're so slow. He was quick to obey. Remember his grandson, Jacob? You all know Jacob. When God asked him to obey, and we use it, I think we use it wrongly, he wrestled all night. What was he fighting against? He's fighting against God. That's who he was wrestling with. Why was he wrestling against God? Because God told him to go back, and he was afraid to go back because of his brother. No, he was afraid to go back because of himself, and he had cheated his brother. He had lied to his brother. He had lied to his father. Now he's got to go back and face the music. And he's wrestling against God. Now there's a good part to that, so don't chew me up and spit me out here. There was a good part to that. He held on to God. The best part of all that wrestling was this. He said, I will not let go. You know, when you wrestle against somebody, you're working against them. You're trying to overpower them. And he couldn't overpower God. Do you ever wrestle with God over something? I'm not good. Abraham didn't wrestle. His grandson did, but he didn't. He rose up early in the morning, quick to obey. Hard to obey. Sometimes we find it hard to obey. God never promised life would be easy. It's not, Christianity is not a bed of roses. Read Hebrews chapter 11, the last half of the chapter. Sure, some lived by faith, but some were sawn asunder. Some were nailed alive to stakes. Some were burned alive by faith. In other words, they obeyed God to death. Sometimes it's hard to obey. I don't think the Lord would ever ask us to do something that he is not willing to do himself. And God didn't ask Abraham to do something that he wasn't going to do. Take now thy son, thine only son. It could just be that God was bringing Abraham into fellowship with himself so that Abraham could experience what God would experience. Let that sink in. Next time you're fighting against God to obey. Could it be? Could it be that God just wants us to be like him? Could be. Because there's no clearer picture of a father and a son being offered, than what God asked Abraham to do. It's hard to obey. I've often thought of Abraham and I think, poor Abraham. How's he going to explain this to Sarah? I don't think he did. Not a word here that he told Sarah where he was going or what he was doing. I dare say Isaac told her when he got home. Can you see that picture? Isaac comes bursting into the tent. Mom, we made a sacrifice. Yes, my son, I know you made a sacrifice. No, Mom, this was different. This was a burnt offering. Yeah, I know, son, I know all about them. No, Mom, you don't know. I was on the altar. What? What'd you do, Abraham? What were you thinking? You know what Abraham said? God told me to. And I simply obeyed him. Sometimes what God asks us is hard. We live in a day of comfy, cozy Christianity where everything's easy. We don't prescribe to the prosperity gospel, but we kind of do, don't we? We just think everything should be comfy and going our way. And we think it's an awful disaster when something happens in our lives that's out of the ordinary. It could just be that God is drawing us into fellowship with himself. That's what he was doing with Abraham. There's no other man in the Bible, in history, like Abraham. He's drawn into fellowship with God, quick to obey. Well, Abraham had a choice, so do you. God never grabbed them by the scruff of the neck and said, now, Abraham, you take that boy and get going. He didn't wake him up, no. Abraham knew what you know and what I know. You've got a choice in this. Trust him and obey. Or refuse him and rebel. That's the choice. Every time. So we're reading his word, we either trust him and obey, or refuse him and rebel. That's the choice Abraham had to make. That's the choice you make. Yes, it's one thing to sing the hymn, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. But how many times do we refuse and rebel? Do you only have to obey when you understand? Or do you just obey even if you don't understand? Put yourself in Abraham's shoes. Do you think for 1 minute Abraham understood? God had promised that through this boy, he would be the heir of all. Now he's asking him to offer him. Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and offer him. How? How's this going to work? You can't mean that. He did mean that. I don't understand. You don't need to understand. What do you need? You just need to trust me. I think the lesson's there in itself. If we could trust him, it was a 3-day journey. So there's actually 4 days that we read about here. The day God called him, then he rose up the next day, and he went 3 days' journey. So day one, there was a night in between. How do you think you'd sleep that night? How do you think Abraham slept that night? Well, if you look carefully at it, let me read something to you here. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. Didn't tell him which one yet. Now, we don't read of him speaking to Abraham again until after he gets there and makes the offering. So when do you think he told him which mountain it was? Because we read that Abraham, 3 days later, Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw the place afar off. He knew the place. How did he know the place? This is the place God told me of. But God says, I'm going to tell you about it. I think the Lord knew that Abraham wasn't going to sleep that night. Because he knew Abraham. And he's testing Abraham. And he knew that his friend Abraham was going to get up in the morning and obey him. And so while Abraham's laying awake that night, the Lord had to describe the place. And he gave him a whole description of it. It's not my subject right now, but that's another subject in this altogether. God described the place so that Abraham could, when he saw it, he would know the place. This is the place of sacrifice. You see, because Abraham had an altar at home. He's in Beersheba. And you read that Abraham built an altar in Beersheba. He could have said, Lord, why not here? I'm not going 3 days. Why not just offer the boy here? I'll do it right here in my backyard, on my altar. No, the Lord said, not here. What a disaster had he tried it there. That wouldn't have been obedience. 3 day journey. Why did Abraham go on that trip, 3 days? It's very simple. To obey. Now, was there any sense in him going on that trip if he had no intention of obeying? Is he thinking maybe God will change his mind if I just start walking? No, no, no. He left the house determined to obey God. Now, he didn't have all the answers, but that's why he's there. That's why he went to this place. I'm making a point of this, and I want you to get it. That's why he came here. If it was just an offering, he'd have done it in his backyard. But he came to this place to obey God. Why are you here? I'll pick an easy one. This is real easy for me. Because I'm a man, and I got no hair. Why do I have short hair? Why, men, do you have short hair? What are you doing in this place if you don't plan to obey? I came into the assembly to obey God. That's what I'm doing here. So why do you have short hair? Because I want to obey God. Oh, I don't have much choice in it really now, because there's not much left up there. Sisters, why do you have long hair? What are you doing in the assembly if you don't want to obey God? Abraham, what are you doing on Mount Moriah if you have no intention to obey? No, he would say, I'm here to obey God. Do you understand that's what the assembly is all about? That's what this place is all about? It's a place where we can simply obey God. We do what he says, not what I say, not what I want. This is not what Abraham wanted. You can guarantee that this is not what Abraham wanted. He did not want to slay his son. No father wants that. And especially when all the promises of God were wrapped up in this son. He doesn't want to slay his son. But he does want to obey God. And that's why he came. To obey God. You think about that next time you don't want to obey. What am I doing here? Because I think deep down inside, we all came into the assembly of God to be obedient to his word. That's why we're here. So let's just, whether it's hard or easy, let's make it quite simple. We're here to obey God. And let's do just that. But then I want to talk to you about Satan and obedience. Oh, because Satan does not want you to obey. You just heard that. If he had the audacity to challenge the Lord Jesus, he'll challenge you. Can't you hear Satan? Because he uses the same tactics, the same ones he used in the garden, he's still using today. Because they work. They're successful. He brought all humanity down. Half God said, can't you hear Satan? Day one, Abraham, you didn't hear that from God. Half God really said, did God really say, offer your son? All day, Abraham's trotting along behind that donkey. And every step he takes, half God said, half God said, half. The devil wasn't far away. He never is when it comes to obedience. Because the last thing the devil wanted was Abraham to obey God. And the last thing the devil wants is for you and I to obey God. And so what did he do with Eve? The last thing he wanted was for Adam and Eve to obey God. So he just, did God really say that? I don't think Eve heard God say that. I think she got it secondhand from Adam. But she got it right. And she said, yes, God did say that. And I can hear Abraham. Yes, Satan, that's what God said. Oh, yeah, but he says, that's not what he meant. That's what he said to Eve. That's not what God meant. God doth know. He doesn't mean what he says. I think by the time Abraham got to the land of Moriah, Abraham had made up his mind. I am going to obey God, and God is going to have to raise this boy from the dead. Hebrews 11 tells us that. God is going to have, I will offer him, but God's going to have to bring him back to life. And his mind is made up. Almost like the Lord Jesus, get thee behind me, Satan. Satan and obedience. But we read about the fear of the Lord and obedience. You catch what the Lord says? Now I know that thou fearest God. Where does the fear of God come into this? Abraham gets to the place. He builds the altar. He lays the wood in order. He reaches for the knife. He binds his son on the wood on the altar. He reaches for the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord, or the Lord himself, says to him, now I know thou fearest God. I would have put there, if I was writing this, now I know you're willing to obey me. That's not what he said. He said, now I know that your life is ruled by the fear of God. What is the fear of God? There's all kinds of expressions, like a reverential fear. And it's true. But I think you get a clear definition of what the fear of God here is in Abraham. He was afraid not to obey God. He was afraid to disobey God. He was afraid of offending God. He was afraid of losing what he had with God. I would say this, that Abraham must have sized this up like this. It's a hard thing to say, but I'm going to say it. I lived 100 years without my son, but I had God. I can live again without my son, but I can't live without God. That's a hard thing to say. But the fear of God was such, I can't lose God. I can't lose communion with God. I can't lose fellowship with my God. I can't disobey my God. I could slay my son, but I can't disobey my God. And God says, now I know thou fearest God. He knew God in such a way that to offend God by disobedience, to offend God, would be the worst thing he could possibly do. That's the fear of God. He's afraid of that. And we should be too. The fear of God. I would call that a dread. A dread of God being offended by something I do or say. So the fear of God kept Abraham obedient to God. And I think the fear of God will keep us in obedience. There's a strange way that Abraham gets approval here. I say this, if you ever tap your card or stick your card in a debit card or credit card in one of these machines, it always comes up approved, or it should come up approved. It's come up on me a couple times, not approved. But whenever it comes up approved, I'll say to the clerk, I'm approved. And most of the time, they look at me like I got three heads. Yeah, so. It's happened to me twice now out of the hundreds of times I've said that. I said to one lady, I'm approved. Boy, it's good to be approved. She said, it is, if you're approved by the right one. Ah, I said, that's the look. That's what I've been looking for. Someone to understand what I'm talking about. 99% of them have no idea what I'm talking about. But it's great to be approved of God. Abraham was approved of God based on his obedience. Do you want to hear God's approval? Well done. Well done, thou faithful servant. Got to be obedient. Got to obey. Our approval is based on our obedience. Oh, yeah, I know there's a sense in which we're accepted. We're accepted in the beloved. We're accepted because Christ has put away our sins. But I'm talking now about our Christian walk and our standing before God. Last week I spoke on the butler from the story of Joseph. And there came a day when that butler had to hand that cup to Pharaoh. And when he started out, the cup was empty. And he knew there would be no approval if that cup was empty when he stood before Pharaoh. Read his dream. It says this, Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, but there was nothing in it. Anything in your cup? The cup is in Abraham's hand. Will he fill it? Will he obey? He did. And God says, now I know. Well, didn't God know Abraham? Oh, yeah. God knew Abraham. But Abraham didn't know Abraham. And Abraham needed to know Abraham. And Abraham needed to know what God knew of Abraham. And so God tests them. Will he obey my voice? Will he obey my word? He brings them right to this. And he approves them. Listen to what God says. God speaks unto him the second time, verse 16. Because you have done this thing. What thing? What thing? What's the thing he did? Offer a son? No. What's the thing he did? He obeyed. God doesn't say because you offered your son. He actually didn't. He offered a ram. But what did he do as far as God is concerned? He did the thing God asked him to do. He obeyed. Because thou hast done this thing, I will bless thee. So that brings us to blessing and obedience. Abraham didn't obey God so that God would bless him, but God blessed him because he obeyed. I'll say that again. Abraham wasn't thinking, if I obey, then God will bless me. That's not true. That is not true. But God did bless him because he obeyed. Because that thou hast done this thing, that in blessing I will bless thee. What a blessing he had. Because he obeyed. One more thing. Devotion and obedience. So Abraham returns. He will never be the same again. God didn't want Isaac. God doesn't need Abraham to offer Isaac. If God wants to take Isaac to heaven, God could take Isaac. He didn't need Abraham. He didn't want Isaac. What did he want? He wanted Abraham's heart. He wanted Abraham to love the Lord his God with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his mind, with all his strength. That's what God wants from you. That's what he wants from me. Abraham made the supreme sacrifice. And God says, because of this, I'm not only going to bless you, but all nations, all Gentiles of the world will be blessed because you did this. Now he doesn't say because you did this thing. Now is the only time he uses the word, because you obeyed my voice. We come in to the blessings of God because a man loved the Lord. Because a man was so devoted to his God that he's willing to do whatever God asks him to do, he's going to do it. That's where you could go off on another tangent here. That's where lordship comes in. If he's my Lord, then I just obey him. He's worthy of all my obedience. He's worthy of my devotion. I can't imagine that tent would ever be the same again. I can see when I started on this, when Isaac comes back and he says to his mother, you don't understand, I was on that altar. And she looks at Abraham, and I can see Abraham saying, sit down, my dear, we got to talk. God tested me. It was a test. And how could I be anything but true to my God? How could I do anything different? Isaac speaks up and he says, but Mom, Dad told me on the way the Lord's going to provide the lamb. I asked, where's the lamb for a burnt offering? And Dad told me on the way, don't worry about it, my son. The Lord will provide a lamb. And the Lord did. The Lord provided. Abraham, did you know he was going to do that? No. No. I didn't know there'd be a ram caught in the thicket. Why would you say that? Because I knew my God. Because I knew God would never let me down. And I trusted him completely. And that's what he wants from you. And that's what he wants from me. He just wants the devotion of our hearts. Because if he has that, he has everything. He has it all. If he has Abraham's heart, he has Isaac. He has Sarah. He has the servants. He has the whole future. He has the nation of Israel. He has the entire world. Everything. If he has the devotion of our hearts. God bless his word.